Thank you, Eva. Man, I'll tell you, Daniel Reclus, our minister of music, is a hard driver. You can't even break your leg and get out of singing up here on Sunday morning. We're spending the month of December projecting ourselves back into the nativity, being there, feeding it, seeing it, imagining what it must have been like. It's been good for us to realize and to remember that God engineered that entire setting, everything about it, every humble element of the nativity was designed and put there by God in order to teach us important truths. And we've looked at those truths over these last weeks, and we'll continue through next Sunday. This morning, as we look at that scene, we're going to consider being a Christmas gift. God wants us to play a part in the giving and receiving of gifts this Christmas. You know, for a long while, it may still be true now, it was stylish, instead of Christmas cards, to send out Christmas letters. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, a Christmas letter was usually written on a special Christmas stationery, and it was a letter that kind of recapped the last year for people, all the activities, all the achievements, all the things that had been done in the family to kind of bring everybody up to date. You know, if we weren't real careful, those Christmas letters would come across a little bit braggadocious. Just a little bit. One lady who identified... I was told the video won't come out for 2 weeks, so... But this lady named Fran, if we get back on track, threatened in the Saturday Evening Post to send out this Christmas letter. I'm very busy this time of year and with all the important things I do. So my Christmas letter will be shorter than usual. Our family is still much more successful, better looking, and happier than yours. Merry Christmas. You keeping up with the hottest Christmas gifts? Just in case you're not, this year it looks like it's going to be the LOL surprise. LOL stands for Little Outrageous Little Surprise. It's a glittery ball packed with 50 smaller surprises for kids of all ages to unwrap. And I'm not pulling your leg. This is for real. You can get online and find this. Its creator, MGA Entertainment, noticed how many unboxing videos were playing on YouTube, and they designed this to kind of play into that. You know what unboxing is? That's a term. Unboxing is unwrapping a gift and videoing it, and then posting that video of the unwrapping of a gift out there on YouTube for everybody who cares to look at. And you say, nobody cares. Aha. Oh yeah, they do. This one YouTube video of a woman opening her LOL surprise has been viewed nearly 10 million times. So these LOL surprises, what we're supposed to do is to get them, give them, and open them and video the joy we get in our heart from videoing these, from opening these LOL surprises, and posting that online. I should tell you ahead of time, I will not look at that video. This Christmas craze is all about the excitement of unwrapping little gifts that are honestly not very valuable at all. 50 of them. But this morning, our emphasis is not going to be about cheap gifts, but about extremely valuable gifts. One, of course, being the most valuable gift of all. The concept of giving was established when the Magi gave gifts to Christ when he was but a little guy. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened the treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thus, the tradition of opening gifts at Christmas was established. Now, what we're doing this morning is we're taking a close look at gifts and kind of interjecting ourselves into that. What part do we play in the giving and the exchanging of gifts? Let's begin with a gift for others. We probably need to quickly establish that these Magi did not bring their gifts on the night Jesus was born, as tradition has established. The night Jesus was born was the night they first noticed the star. That's the night they began preparing for their long trip. We're not sure how long it took for them to prepare or how long it took for them to make the trip. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 indicates that Mary and Joseph are no longer in the stable. They've moved into a permanent dwelling, a house. We can tell from Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 that the Magi may have arrived as long as 2 years after Jesus was born. And we know there are three gifts, but we don't know how many Magi there were. There could have been two, could have been 20, could have been three, the way tradition has established. God doesn't give us that detail because it's not important. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that these Magi gave gifts, expensive gifts, appropriate gifts. And a detail that's often overlooked is they received nothing in return. This was not a gift exchange. These Magi at Christmas are kind of setting a pattern for us. Our emphasis is on gift giving, not on gift getting. A recent study by Harris Interactive shows that 49% of American adults are interested in giving charitable gifts as Christmas presents this year. Also, according to the survey, 3 out of 4 adults would prefer to receive meaningful gifts for Christmas that would help someone else instead of traditional gifts like electronics or neckties or things for the bath and that sort of thing. Justin Greaves, Senior VP for Public Affairs and Policy at Harris Interactive, said this: even in these difficult times, an overwhelming majority of Americans still want to help others in need. The key word there is want to help others. Let's establish this. Wanting to help others is not the same thing as helping others, right? Not the same thing. The American Ad Council, you may recall, ran an ad showing a man with crutches struggling to go up a flight of concrete steps. The narrator says this: this is a man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave money. After a brief pause, the announcer continued with this: almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. Another ad shows an older woman sitting alone in a room staring out a window. The narrator says, this is Sarah Watkins. A lot of people almost helped her. One almost cooked for her. Another almost drove her to the doctor. Still another almost stopped by to say hello. They almost helped. They almost gave of themselves. But almost giving is the same as not giving at all. But I'm just sharing that with you for information's sake. That's not us. That's not who we are. As followers of Christ, our reputation is one of actually giving. And more than that, as followers of Christ, our emphasis is on self-giving. We are self-givers. We give of self. Let me share this with you. In a study on giving done by Syracuse University, Professor Arthur Brooks, the leader of the study, writes this: "If you had asked me, I would have expected to find the religious conservatives," and by the way, that's us. We are their religious conservatives. "I would have assumed the religious conservatives," he writes, "are stingy. That's what academics think. That's what we're told. What we found instead was that the religious right give more in every measurable way, from writing checks to volunteering time to donating blood. They give 4 times more money per year than the secular counterparts. They donate twice as much blood and are more likely to behave compassionately toward strangers. For example, they are much more likely to return extra change to a cashier when they are accidentally given too much." We are people, those of us who follow the Lord, we are people who enjoy giving to others. We enjoy giving to others and expecting nothing in return. That's who we are. That's who we are. Let's look at another element of giving, and that is the gift from God. As dramatic a story as this one involving the Magi is, their gifts were not the first Christmas gift. Their gifts were not even the main Christmas gift. The main Christmas gift was given to us by God. And I hope this doesn't sound trite, but the main Christmas gift is God's gift of Jesus. You ever stop and consider, I mean, I think our response to that is, okay, sure, that's true. Do we ever stop and consider what it may have been like had God not given us that gift? If God had not given us Jesus, how would life be different? I've made just a partial list here, and understand that this list is woefully inadequate. It's woefully short. But had God not given us the gift of Jesus, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says we could have never known the might of God's power. Same passage, Isaiah 9, verse 6 says we could have never been guided by God's counsel. Same passage says we could have never had God as our eternal Father. Same passage says we could have never received the peace of God. Had God not given us the gift of Jesus, Luke chapter 1, verse 35 says we could have never experienced the one and only Son of God. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says God could have never walked with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says we could have never been rescued from the deadly disease of sin. That's a big deal. John chapter 15, verse 26 says we would have never had access to the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26 says we would have never had any guidance or direction. John 14, 13 says we would have never had our prayers answered. John 14, 21 says we would have never personally experienced the love of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says we would have never escaped the condemnation of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says we could have never been adopted by God. John 3, 16 and Romans 8, verse 11 and on and on and on says we could have never gone to heaven. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says we could have never received and displayed Christ's personality traits. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says we could have never lived life with Christ's courage, love, and common sense. And we can go back even further than that. John chapter 1, verse 3 said, had God not given us Jesus, there would have never been an earth. So when I say that the most important gift ever given was one God gave to us, we need to pause for just a minute and consider how important that gift is. The most important gift ever given was given to us by God. And I know as soon as I complete that list, you're sitting there saying, Pastor, what about this? What about this? What about this? I know. I told you it wasn't a comprehensive list. When I began, there's no end to the blessings from God's gift to us of Jesus. The October 2017 issue of Time Magazine carries a depressing article that features Masha Gessen. Gessen is a Russian-American who authored the book entitled The Future is History. She says in her book, her book is built on that phrase that's often repeated in Russia, Budushchevo Nyet, which means there is no future. She explains that many in Russia feel they have no control over their lives under totalitarianism. So they've adopted this mantra, there is no future. There is no hope. Man, I've got to tell you, that's dismal. That's depressing. To live life with the conviction there's no future, there's no hope, there's no tomorrow, nothing matters, all is dark, all is dismal. Stars, that's a frightening way to live life. Let's understand here this morning that we not only have an indescribably beautiful future, we have a glorious and victorious present. All because of God's great gift of Jesus to us. Oh, that Russians could discover Jesus, right? Oh, that atheists could discover Jesus. Oh, that Muslims could discover Jesus. Oh, that Jews could discover Jesus. God's greatest gift to us is Jesus. And anybody who doesn't have Him, even if they go worship Him on Sunday, many of them don't. Oh, that they could find and follow and be saved by and follow the greatest gift of all eternity, Jesus. The greatest gift. Got to take just a minute and consider this last one. That's our gift to God. Can you imagine what our gift to God might be here at Christmas? And for that matter, throughout the year? In his autobiography entitled Be Myself, Warren Wiersbe says this. This is great. If life is to have meaning, and if God's will is to be done, all of us have to accept who we are and what we are, give it back to God, and then thank Him for the way He has made us. Listen to this. What I am is God's gift to me. What I do with it is my gift to Him. Living my life for God is my gift to God. Living your life for God is your gift to God. Nothing short of that. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 1, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present, same thing as a gift, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. You know, here at Christmas, one of the things we're doing at our parties, not just us, but all of us, is the white elephant gift exchange. More Christians have gotten into fist fights at white elephant gift exchange. For those of you who don't know, bless you. Stay away from them. But the idea, everyone brings a gift of low value. Usually they're set, there's a spending limit, very low spending limit, $10. Everyone brings a low valued gift, but typically it's wrapped in a beautiful wrapping. At the party, all the gifts are put under the tree. And then there's a pulling numbers out of a hat to establish a sequence. And the first person then goes to the tree and opens up a gift. And it's almost always a sorry gift. The second person then goes to the tree. And they can either pick a new gift or they can take the gift the first person opened. And the third person can either open a new gift or take what either of the first two have opened. You can see how this can cause fights. So as time goes, and there are more rules. In fact, I was going to list the rules, but there are like 8 rules to this. The most advantageous person at a white elephant gift exchange is the last person, because the last person gets to look at all of the gifts that have been opened and take one of those or take a present from under the tree. Let's look at this morning like it's a white elephant gift exchange. Only you bring all the gifts. You know, you bring your talents. You bring your money. You bring your resources. You bring your spiritual gifts. You bring your career, and on and on and on. You bring all of your stuff wrapped up. And God gets to select. God looks at everything you bring, and you know what God says? God says, I choose you. I choose you. Out of everything you have, the gift I choose from you to me for Christmas is I choose you. I want your life as my Christmas gift. And what do we say to God? Here at Christmas, why don't we say, my gift to God this Christmas is going to be my life. There's an old hymn that says, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your all does the Spirit control? You will only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when you yield Him your body and soul. Here at Christmas, it only seems fair to me, after all that God has given to us in His only Son, Jesus, it only seems fair to me to give back to God this little, tiny, low-value gift. God, let me give you me. Agree? Let's pray together.